So a couple of guys in Yeshiva, one from Silver Spring, gave me for introduction. I've had the pleasure of knowing Yvonne beyond Garrity for a number of years. So when I was your age, probably, I got to the Shurim Fund. It's a big honor. I just want to say she's going to stay sharing the Yeshiva so much.
The reason is because it says that Esther Amalka said, "Keli Keli Lama Zaftoni," as she came into Achashverosh, she felt herself losing Ruach HaKodesh, and she said, "Keli Keli Lama Zaftoni," and that is why it should be Shir Shal Yom. There's another, the Gemara Darshan is another part of the Shir Shal Yom on Esther, and I'd like to understand it in the context of that drasha. It's a Gemara in Yuma, it's Daf of Tes. The Gemara intertwines two themes. First of all, Ayelas HaShachar means the dawn, the break of dawn. Literally, Ayelas HaShachar, the Gemara teaches, is like antlers of a deer. They spread out into like little horns, like sort of branches. When it gets dawn in the morning, it begins, the light begins sort of to come out like a little rivulet, and it's like horns of a deer. So Ayelos HaShachar is like the horns of a deer, and that's when morning comes after a long, hard night. Amar Rav Zera, Loma Nimshla Esther Layola. Why is Esther compared to a deer? And in this case, it's actually the female deer, who does not have horns. Loy malacha ma ayola rach motzar v'chaviva baila kosho v'sho v'sho v'sho. The nature of deers are that the male is always attracted to the female like the first time they mate. So too Esther hoyse chaviva l'chashveros kosho v'sho v'sho v'sho. Esther was also very attracted to Achashveros like v'sho v'sho. So obviously it was needed for Esther to be so attractive to Achashverosh in order to have the neis that she should come whenever she wants and he should accept her. But there's obviously something about the personality of Esther that is, it sort of expresses the ruchnishtik token of Esther in a way that she is always chaviv like the first minute. Things tend to peter out, and there's things that are always chaviv like the first time you see it. And Esther is one of those. So it's a quality, something of the person, besides the physical necessity that it was for Achashverosh, but there's a quality of the person. And it's not incidental. If it's the Shir Shal Yom, if this is the song of Esther, then this is something that's very intrinsic to her personality. And I'd like to try to understand that. Similarly, the Gemara says, Esther Makori Minolam. So the Gemara says, Vanochi Haster Aster, that there'll come a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hide himself totally from all Yisrael. You look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you won't find him. You can't even look in a hiding place because he's hiding it in a hiding place of the hiding place, and he won't be there. Esther is the one whose name is Merumah Net Pasuk, and she's called Esther. L'chura, if you are looking for something that's lost, you want somebody that is very good at finding things. You don't call someone who's good at losing things to look for something that's lost. So it's strange that the person who uncovers this Hester Aster of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is somebody called Hester herself. It shouldn't really be, she should be called something the lines of Megala, whatever you would like, but it's strange that that is her personality. And the Maharal speaks a lot about it, about the fact that it's the Hester personality that was extremely the key for being the next. I'd like to explain it, but with a different angle than he speaks. Let's explore a point that is maybe a little far away at first, but it's a key to understanding these inyanim. There are two words in Russian Kodesh that have one definition in English, because English does not differentiate between the two. And they are taiva and chuka. Both of them mean desire or passion. And both of them are, there is no way to break the word desire or passion into two to correctly express chuka and taiva. And yet they're two very different Hebrew words. And they use a little bit differently, and we'll try to understand the difference between chukka and taiva, and in a certain way that's really the key for understanding these inyanim, and a lot of inyanim at Purim. Let's see a place in Chumash where they're juxtaposed. The first chait was the woman saw the Eitz Hadaat, the Nochash pointed it out to her. And it says, what she noticed about it was that Tera Ha'isha Kitova Eitz L'machol V'chitavo Hu Leinayim, that the Eitz Hadaat was a Tava Leinayim. That is where Tav is used, and obviously in a negative context. The woman was later told V'l'ishech Shukosech Hu Yimshovach. And in this sense, chukka seems to be positive. And let's try to understand the difference and see where in lies the difference. A person has senses, five senses, that respond to qualities of pleasant, unpleasant, extremely pleasant, extremely painful. So a person walks in the street, he sees something in a window that he likes a lot, that's really nice, and he is very attracted to it. A person hears something nice, a person smells something exquisite, he's very, very taken by it, attracted, and it pulls him in. That is one koach of a person. That koach is called tava. Tava means it comes to the person from the outside. The senses perceive something, and they get some stimuli, they become inflamed, they become impassioned, and the person wants something. The word tava also means in Chumash, a boundary. The end point of a person's reach is called his avu by in Bamidbar, by the gvul, by the boundary of Klal Yisrael. It says, his avu meaning the very outer limit of something. In other words, taiva is where the outer limit that I can reach and touch something, that is taiva. Something that's not in sight, a beautiful jacket that I don't see in any window, I don't see anyone wearing it, I have no reason to really want it. You know, it exists somewhere, but I'm not really attracted to it. That is tava. Chukka means that I have a need, and if I need it, and therefore I have to fill up on it. For instance, let's take something simple. If a person is hungry, he has to eat in a day or two, then he has a chukka, we would call that properly chukka. He needs food, he's starving. A person who's eaten and he sees something that's very good, he sees something creamy and chocolatey and sweet, that is a taiva and it's a trap. Chazal said that when the Nachash came on Chava, it says Hito Vazuala, which means he infected her with his Ritzum is a word meaning schmutz one way or another. It's slimy, dirt, uncleanliness. What it means is that the nachash, it's just like when something attracts you through taiva, it's something outside that is imposing itself on you. It's sort of making itself desirable to you, and it's being mashpia on you. Take me, I'm good, I'm edible, I taste very good. That is the hippo zuama of the nachash. It injects its own koach of creating desire, of exciting desire into you. Chukka, on the other hand, so that's the way the nachash dealt with chava. The tava leinayim is the same thing as the hippo zuama. For the first time, a person was affected by something else that used the person, so to speak, and made him run after it. Adam Arishon It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a mate with all the animals, and he wasn't happy when Iskara Daita, until he created Chava. Why? I mean, even a bad Shaftan gets it right the fourth or fifth time. I mean, this one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried, like, I don't know how many meaning there were, but let's even take a few hundred meaning, and then he says, you know, if none of these work, I guess it's back to the drawing board. It seems to be, like, almost ludicrous. I mean, why do you have to go this whole exercise of looking for everything? The Teretz is, as long as if Adam would have had the Isha and been attracted to her, it would register the Taiva. He sees the Isha, he's attracted, she's attractive, and that's it. You cannot build a permanent relationship on a Taiva. First, Adam HaRishon had to take everything that was in sight and exhaust it, and he still feels he needs something. He still feels there's something in him that's incomplete. That is Tshuka. And Tshuka is something that can become permanent because it's a fulfillment of a real need. I need it. It's not something that I happen to be attracted to, but it's something that I need. And therefore, taiva is something that passes, and tshuka is something that endures. The same thing, you take a look at anything that attracts a person. A person looks at, he buys a beautiful mansion and he's overwhelmed by it. You walk by and it's gorgeous and it's extraordinary and so on. You become, at some point, you don't even notice what it's like. It's people who are oohing and aahing that make you aware of what you're seeing. You take it for granted. The senses become dull with time because that's the nature of senses. You smell a perfume that's very, very exotic and it's very exciting. The tenth time, the nose doesn't register it because it becomes part of the familiar. So it's the nature of taiva, that any type of taiva, the longer it endures, then the less it excites a person. And that's why people who are addicted to anything, they need a constantly a more exciting dosage, because simply the nature of life is such that it falls away. It's really alien to the person, and the person has to keep getting more and more of it excited. A tshuka is something that the person never stops needing because he really needs it. It's interesting, in another usage of the word shokeka, of tshuka, the word shokeka means thirsty. And the Malbim says that shokeka and ra'av is usually used for hunger, for food, and shokeka is used for thirst. That's sort of the literal translation. It is, you know, you do find overlap in sometimes ra'av used for thirst, but by and large, specifically in one or two psukim, where nefesh shokeka means thirsty, literally. Because the difference is, hunger is aroused by a smell. A person could be after a good meal, but if he sees something good or smells something good, a person can still become hungry. Thirst, when you're dealing with water, and once there's sugar and something else, it's sort of another form of hunger. But the real thirst, when a person is empty and dry, there is nothing that burns a person more than thirst. A thirst is a much stronger need than food, you know, even physically in a few days. But on the other hand, a person who's had quenched his thirst does not once again need to drink. If you put down a glass of cold water next to somebody's head is full, there's nothing there. So the word, the idea of shokeka meaning thirst, as opposed to rav meaning hunger, is because hunger, taiva can play with tshuka. When a person is very hungry and needs bread, that's like a tshuka, but when it's still up in the air. Drink is something that a person needs because he needs it. And the minute the person has had his fill of water, he's not thirsty anymore. That is properly called shokeka and tshuka. There's a Yonason ben Uzziel in Pilim. He says that the word nefesh shokeka, it's in Tilk of Zion, that is, he says, nafsha srikaya. Srikaya means empty, like ilon srak. Thirst is when your water gauge says zero. That is the literal translation of thirst. It's not because the water is good, water is basically tasteless. It's because the person is empty and he needs the water. So you have two types of drives in a person. that they seem to come, a person, both of them are a strong purge, but they're extraordinarily distinct. There is taiva, which is something else exciting a person's senses with its beauty, pleasure, and so on. And there's chukra, where a person's own needs, his real needs, are begging to be fulfilled. The person has both urges. It's hard to feel which one is which sometimes. There's a passage in the Torah that points out the distinction also very, very sharply and very deep. In Bamidbar, you have the distinction between, it says like this, Vasafsif Asher Bekirbo, it's in Baloska, it says Vasafsif Asher Bekirbo his Avu Tava. Toysol had bread in the Midbar. They had man, whatever man was. They had man, didn't have a problem, they weren't hungry. But, you know, man at some point becomes like yeshiva food. It's sort of the same again and again, very little variety. I mean, not this yeshiva, obviously, but general, you know, it might be filling, you can't say you're starving, but it's the same again and again. They envisioned meat. Meat is, it has smell, it has an aroma, it's something that attracts a person. So it says, he's avutava. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's remedy to that? So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you're going to keep eating at Chodesh Yomim, ad asher yaseh me'apchem, you're going to be eating it for a month until it comes out of your nose, v'hoyo lachem l'zora, and it will become alien to you, strange, meaning because you're going to get fed up with it and you'll realize you don't really need meat. It was just something that aroused you. But if you can become, nobody ever becomes sick of drinking water when he's thirsty. And nobody becomes sick of breathing air. Nobody becomes sick of eating bread, the simple bread, because he eats it when he's hungry. But if it's taiva, the way to distinguish a taiva from a chukka is that there comes some point when it's just, I don't want it anymore. It's not me. It's zara. So the yardstick for taiva versus chukka is, does it come a moment when it's lazara? If it's lazara, then it's a sign that it was not a chukka, it was just a taiva, and you didn't really want it. It's not you that wanted it, it's something else that was matel zuma and got you excited about it. Let's go back a little bit to the Purim de Kinyanim. It says in the pasuk that that the day of Purim is miyuchel kevanoichi hasta aster. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will come a day of extreme hasta panim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hide himself from Klal Yisrael and will be nowhere to be found. Usually a nisoyan has in itself some kernel of rehabilitation. If you tell somebody, if somebody was slow in getting up, you wake him up earlier, and that sort of, it helps him, like, as long as he doesn't get up earlier, it'll be easy to get up later. There is always some sort of, in every punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out, there is always something in it, besides just being mida connected mida, like, it's not just a punch for a punch, it rehabilitates the person somewhere. What exactly was the hasta aster? It was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu just runs away and left us alone. He's very hidden. There doesn't seem to be anything positive in the very in that hiddenness. Let's go to the famous Chazal. I'm sure you've heard it a lot of times now. That at Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kofalim Har Kibbutz. Whereas at Ibn and Ben Hadar Kibluha, it was the Ratzin, it was the Avra, and so on. If you read the story the way it's written, it's the opposite. Har Sinai was a very festive Yom Kippur event. Kaza came to the Chodesh HaShlishi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down with Malachim, and it was grand and beautiful. It doesn't seem to be anything terribly coercive. The Chazal say Kofalim Har Kigigis, but fine. But the Pesukim have to somewhere give that over. On the other hand, Megillas Esther, I mean, there were a lot of guns held everybody's back. If they were about to be killed, and it was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened, they were saved. Where do you see in the story, in the Torah of Iksav, that Maimed Har Sinai was the kfir, so to speak, and this was the lesson. The answer is, the Maimon HaSinai, the kfir we're talking about Maimon HaSinai, where the Kaflem HaKegig is, I mean, Chazal says Kipshuto, they're ready to kill him, but there's another element to it that's much more in the pshat of it. When a person comes face to face with an awesome event like Maimon HaSinai, he's extremely turned on by it. It's an awesome event. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, the Chvod of Atzmo, the closest we can ever see of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that is, we saw. We saw Kolos, we saw Brachim, we saw Malachim, we saw the Eish, we saw the Anan, everything. And it was an awesomely inspiring event. It couldn't have been more inspiring. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu did everything he could. And yes, but it was an event, an outside event, that inspired us. After Harei Soladas, you showed what it takes to understand and to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's like looking in the window. The difference is that it's good quality, and looking in the window is not always. But as far as my particular perception of it, it was something that came down and it foisted itself on me, not forcefully in the sense that my arm was twisted, but my senses were overwhelmed, which they were. Kalal Yisrael says, they couldn't take it. It was such an awesome sight. All that said is, so Kaiser was tremendously inspired, but any inspiration that comes from the outside does not last because it is from the outside. Like Lahab, like it says, Lizara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid. And not only did he hide, but if you can't even tell, he's hiding. It means they realize that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're missing something. In Maimon HaSinai, they saw that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have something overwhelming. But they didn't realize that not having HaKadosh Baruch Hu means they don't have anything. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nowhere to be found, and just like other Mauritians being brought, I'll call her Achayas, and he's kind of dietary, I tried everything, and I'm not happy, I'm not satisfied. Then I realized, K'eino had security. I realized that I'm mishtokik for it. It's not a misavah for it, but I'm mishtokik for it. So the messias of, the difference of the kaflim hakigigis of Matan Torah, to the kibluah of the Ava lay in the fact that Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, touched human perception as much as possible. And that is, as overwhelming as it is, it's always an outside thing imposing itself, and it can peter out. It almost has to peter out, because it, at some point, you become used to it. A person sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, day in, day out, becomes cold. That's the teva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself and the person lives completely, he can completely obliviate HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his conscience. And then he walks around troubled and says, there's something missing in life. That's when a person has tshuka. That's the difference between the two. So the Lamatzeach HaYelos HaShachar, Keli Keli Lama Zaftani, the parasha of Keli Keli Lama Zaftani was said in that's the Noche Aster Aster, and that was the time when there was nothing there. Keli Kelom Zatani is Bayemahu Aster Aster Panay, Aster Aster Panay Bayemahu. That time is Ayelot HaShachar, it's the dawn that breaks in the dark of the night, not despite the dark of the night, but it's because of the dark of the night. Because there was nothing there, they began to have a tshuka for the light. The Ayelos HaShachar is Ma Yala, Rachma is it's Sarah, she's Chaviva al Daila Koshor Veshor, Kishor Veshoina. If you're dealing with a taiva, with a passion of the nature of taiva, then it peters out. That type of person peters out because it's just a taiva. So the taiva can come as stunning as possible. You get used to it, and that's that. The person, the Ayola embodies in herself, a mida of tshuka. The mate is mishtekek for it. It's because there's something in it that allows something to feel that it's necessary. It's not that, it says, the Gemara says, Esther was not all that attractive. Is that correct? She wasn't extremely attractive. So whatever it was that made her attractive was because a person felt that, it says, Nidmala kol echad v'echad ki umasa. Everybody felt it's like her, his umma, which is, it's similar to the Niskara Daita of Adam. Everything was alien to him, everything was Zara, and then he found the one that is Meshokik to. So the same thing here. The kuda of Esther that made a chavid was because the person felt something of himself in that person. In this Damala Kolechet Vechet Kumasa means each person felt there's something of me that's being nishlam from this person. It's not exciting, but it's something that I need for myself. So she's described as an ayala because of that reason, because she is something that is, her personality belongs to the world of Ishtaikikus rather than the world of Taiva, and therefore it's a mitzias of, that's the Purim Dikah type of person. There's another place where I'd like to see in the same context the word Tshuva. Shir HaShirim is a love song between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And they trade endearments. Klal Yisrael describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes Klal Yisrael and their beauty. And each one describes each one with their beauty. Towards the end of Shir HaShirim, it stops. That relationship is broken off, and it will never again become renewed, that relationship. And until they die, they don't become united again. And it's sort of a remnant for Klal Yisrael's last galus, which seems just interminable. And the goyim at that point, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left Klal Yisrael seemingly for the last time, and they'll never be together again until death brings them together again, until Azot HaMavis Avot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Goyim turn to Klal Yisrael, and they say, Shuvi Shuvi HaShalam Es Benechzikah. Listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gone. He's not there anymore. Maybe we're good enough. Matechzu B'Shalam Es Kimchot Nachlaim. She asks, what can they possibly find in her? And so she answers them, and she says, Ani L'Dodi V'Olai Shukasi. It's where Klal Yisrael, you know, it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gone that they realize that life is meaningless without each other. As long as the presence is there, you can't actually discern it. It's beautiful, it's grand, it's wonderful, it's tremendous, it's exciting, but it's not a chreach, it's not something that I must have. When it's gone, that's when the person takes a look and says, If a month goes by and I did without it, it's like if a person stops smoking, for a month, and 2 months, or 3 months, the longer the time goes away, it peters off. That's a riot that it was a taiva. A person who doesn't eat vitamin C, let's say, for a month, for 2 months, or 3 months, it gets worse and worse. He suffers more diseases. Because taiva is something, the longer it stays away, the less it's important to you. Tshuka is something that the more you stay away from it, the more intense the yearning and the desire become. There's the tzaddik contrasts two psukim about the difference between. He doesn't say it as clear. He doesn't contrast chayv and tshuka, but even though he says those words, he's really dealing with another nekuda about Rosh and tzaddik. But the words are very clear. He says that. It says, Havois Rishoyim Yahadoif, Havois, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Havois Miloshin Tava, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu frustrates the Taiva of Rishoyim. Rishoyim have Taivas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu frustrates them. Yahadoif means to push away, to shove away. So Reb Tzadik says, the nature of Tava is that a person is never happy with it. It's frustrating. And a person who has a Taiva and he's not getting it, then the person is an animal. They witness somebody who's literally not addicted. The person is an animal. It's frustrating. It's bitter. It's something that a person. It makes a person crazy. On the other hand, it says it says Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem, that the hearts of those that are Mevakshei Hashem are happy. Because when a person realizes the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then a person begins to understand himself. There is a happiness no one ever attains HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the fullest sense, because it's unattainable. There's always something ahead. But the fact that the person realizes that within him there's a real need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a real desire, that itself makes a person a happy person. A person says, it is an indelible part of my personality because I'm looking for it, because I'm seeking it. Nothing is forcing me, nothing is driving me, and yet I must. It's something from inside. So there's a simcha that comes from in the person, the fact that the person is searching for it. That's a yontov of Purim. The yontovim, all the other yontovim, are yontovim of Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megal himself, Asher Nigal of Melech Malka Moch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there is a tremendous excitement and a tremendous passion when a person is witnesses a Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all its majesty. That is all year round, and that is all the yontovim. There is, but that has its limitations. The Atma HaReisa L'Das is awesome and it's important, but that's not the final chapter. Chayev Adam L'Sumi Ad Lo Yada. When a person's Das is cut off, nothing, there is no input from the outside. So what comes out of a person's Tshuka, Nataiva. Atma HaReisa L'Das means that the person's sight leads into his Das and makes him aware and makes him want something. And that is what starts the process. But when a person is oblivious to everything around, and the person so much wants, then the person is a mishtokeh. And the person realizes that there's something that he wants, not because it looks good, but because he really needs it and it's really part of him. And the simcha of Purim is that simcha of Yismach Lev Mevakshei Hashem. On a day when a person has tshuka, on a day when a person begins to feel that his needs and his yearning for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because it's him and because what he needs, the etzem search, the etzem yearning, the etzem tshuka is a simcha, and that's the simcha spirit.